Blog Talk Radio.
The worship most acceptable to God comes from a thankful and cheerful heart. That is Plutarch. And I'm very thankful to be here. I'm joined by my brother, the Reverend Scott Sanmore Michael.
Good evening.
We are here live on location in Connecticut, relaxing here this evening on this lovely property. Welcome to a special Thanksgiving Eve edition of Main Street Universe. And the song I'm going to start off with now is actually by me. And yes, my demo is going very slow, but this is the one song that I have started. There's still about another 7 elements that need to be added to this. But that's what we have this evening. Everybody's been doing all sorts of things, on the road, tired, doing holiday things, saying hi to family members, nature walks, all sorts of stuff we've got going on, as well as experimenting with our digital handheld recorder. And we have an interview with a woman who's had a store in Connecticut since 1871. She's a 6th-generation store owner, so I thought that was kind of cool. Right now, this is a song I've written. I think I've played it once or twice before on the show. This one is The Lake.
But I can't reach it, my vision was taken away.
Thank you, Marcy, for complimenting me on the tune. And yeah, I will send you a copy of that. Kind of have no idea what we sound like, but we got a nice old school landline phone, and I'm stuck to a little cord, which is torture for me. As those that know me, I like to pace around the room using the, yes, a landline, but a wireless one. So now instead I'm spinning around in an office chair. So that's how I'm getting my moving out of my system. And speaking of a lake, that song was called The Lake, and we are here in Connecticut, and the lake nearby is Lake Gayar. Is that what it's called?
Yeah. North Branford, Connecticut.
North Branford, Connecticut. And I'd like to get into a little history of North Branford. It was a town established in about by the Europeans, anyway, in 1637, 1638. And it was purchased, however those things go, from the local native populations. And there were warring native populations that were here, if I remember the history correctly. I was reading a little bit of it earlier today. I don't have it in front of me. But some, you know, as things go in history, some of them sided with the settlers and go, help us deal with this warring population, and we'll give you this area. And the interesting thing about that is the area sort of became divided into two different sort of class systems as time went on, and one was the maritime people that had a little more money, and then the farming communities that had a little bit less. And it's a very nice place now, and beautiful, you know, the woods here are just great, the scenery. And I have in front of me a little book about it. And Toket at the Tidal River. The part of the name when they purchased this thing was Toket. And anyway, we were out this Thanksgiving. Might get back into a little bit of that more. I just had this interesting book I was reading today while I was with the family. And today we visited a few places. We took this digital recorder out that we're going to start using, or one similar to it. I might buy another one. But we were experimenting with it and seeing what we could do with it. And I see Jesse Ann Nichols George is here. Hello, Jesse. Good to see you. And we visited a few places. Gozies, which is a place that actually, this is questionable, and my brother's wife is a passionate vegetarian and believes in humane treatment of animals, but this place dyes its turkeys sort of bright pink and electric blue, and the kids love it. I don't really know how they do it. Do they bleach them first? Oh, okay.
Chlorine-free
bleach, they say.
Punk rock turkeys.
And, yeah, Scott calls them punk rock turkeys, some more fluorescent yellow. In fact, I'm going to play a little bit of our trip there. This is not exactly professional yet, folks. By the time I get to the interview, I start treating this a little more professionally. At first, we turned on the recorder. I'll just play it a couple minutes of it. It's not very long. So you can work out any, yes, Marcy, it was pretty much, I think they attempted one. There were some that were fluorescent yellow. I don't know why, but it is the first time I've ever seen this before. There were actually turkeys in the yard. So here was us out today. I didn't get an interview with the owner of Gozies. And I'm really glad I wrote that down because I think I said Gaza once or twice today. Like the Gaza Strip. Now, they did dye turkeys, but I don't think it's exactly the Gaza Strip.
They dyed them.
And in fact, the ones they dyed, I guess, for those of you who believe in the humane treatment of animals, the ones they dyed did, in fact, they sort of got the pardon. They were the ones not going to be... No, I guess not. But anyway, here's a little bit of what we were doing today. I'm going to play some little clips a couple minutes long, and we'll be back for our casual.
Here we are at Gozzi's Turkey Farm in North Branford. Is this still North Branford? Connecticut.
And what we are looking at, and for me, the very first time I've ever seen, is pink and orange and blue and purple and bright yellow turkeys that have been colored in some sort of way. And this is where we're going to get the turkey for this evening's festivity, or portion of the evening's festivity.
Not this evening.
Tomorrow evening.
That's right.
And not everybody will be partaking in the bird, but some people will.
So this began because of the son of the owner of Gozzi's Turkey Farm was a big Ramones fan and came home with a bright idea one day. Or at least that's the story I prefer to believe.
Oh.
They're all a completely different color, aren't they?
Yeah. So how long have you been coming here, Anya?
Well, we've been coming here since I was little.
Really?
Since I was
Hey.
One or two. Right?
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think it's enough to make someone want to be a vegetarian.
Really?
That actually wasn't what turned you.
I know. No. It was the sheep that turned me, but this should have.
Really? Oh, it's just watercolor. They love being the center of attention. Look at them parading around with their wattles flapping and their tail feathers stuck high. They've never had this much fun. Considering their fate, they're going to have as much fun as they can for the next
week. All of these are not going to be killed for Thanksgiving.
Oh, so these are not going to make it to somebody's table.
Oh, okay.
They've been pardoned.
The one is very much the showman there.
Oh, yeah. He was standing on one leg for a second.
That's right.
Look what I can do.
Look at me. The more I look at birds like this, the more I do think that dinosaurs were more bird-like than reptile-like. Like if you look at an ostrich or any large bird, the more, especially up close, like this guy here in the yellow.
Like this bright yellow. Tennis ball.
Yeah. Optic yellow tennis ball dinosaur turkey bird.
You can hear the little.
What are you saying? What? Say what?
Oh, yeah. Yes, that was the optic yellow turkey dinosaur telling us that he's very happy that he was pardoned. Actually, that's probably a she, right? Because it doesn't have the big spanky waddle hanging on its neck. So what's special about Gozzi's Farm? Anya, what's special about Gozzi's?
Careful, Mom. Good. It's okay because it's right next to a big pile of poop.
Do they... Is there anything particularly special about Gozzi's besides Gozzi's? a small family-owned farm besides that?
They've been open for many years,
mm-hmm.
And small family-owned farm. I have no idea how they treat the turkeys here, other than dipping them in
milk. Yeah.
Well, there's also the question of how dumb turkeys are. These turkeys have enough room in this pen that they can fly out of here.
Mm-hmm.
Get over the fence, but seeing wild turkeys in our yard get trapped behind a 3-foot fence in one corner, and no, they don't think to fly.
The suggestion there is that turkeys may not be the smartest creatures on the food chain.
You should interview one of these kids.
Because
and see what they think.
Dolphins, humans, turkey.
But you should ask the parents.
Right, of course. All right. Well, this is Reverend Scott Samler Michael for Main Street Universe, and Daniel's with us too. And I'm gonna. There's more kids over here. We're gonna ask one of these kids what they think about that. Okay, here we go. Hey, how are you? I'm Scott. My brother and I do a radio show. I wanted to ask the kids about what they think about the turkeys. Can we do that? Hey, Alice? Oh, she's too busy talking to the turkey. What about this one? Who's this?
Not really saying much.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Alice.
And who are you guys?
I'm Mike.
Mike?
Hillary?
Hello. Hi. We're actually from Virginia. We're up with visiting my in-laws.
Oh, that's great.
You guys live nearby?
We live in New Haven.
Yeah, sure. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we know New Haven, yeah. Awesome. And this is Alice. Hey, Alice. Which one's... Alice is shy. Especially...
Alice, it's okay. You can answer some questions.
That's okay. That's all right. This is the way it goes. Hi. Wow, which one's your favorite? What color is that? Pink. Wow. How did the turkey get pink? You know? How did the turkey get pink? You don't know?
I don't know.
Wow. Pink just like your jacket. That's why it's your favorite. Awesome.
All right.
Thanks.
Okay, we're back. And again, we were experimenting with the digital recorder. And what I'd like to get to later is the interview with the lady, because that was probably the most professional sounding thing. I have to kind of find it in here. And what I did say in the chat room before was true. Ben Franklin was very impressed by the turkey and wanted it initially to be sort of a national symbol for the country. Of course, Ben Franklin also was interested in the snake as a symbol. And the Don't Tread on Me, he had early variations and draw-ups of that until it became that. We have some people over here now. I don't know if you can hear that. If you want to hear a description, I'm staring at this amazing light fixture. It was from a play, and it's just this big old kind of, I don't know if I want to say Victorian Gothic. It's just an impressive light fixture. The room I'm staying in, it's this great wooden surroundings with all sorts of cool old stuff on the wall. And there's a big mural because they're theater people and it's the technical drama department at Yale that my father-in-law is the, or uncle-in-law, is the head of. And one of his students is now down there bringing in the tables for tomorrow. But it's an interesting job. I wanted to do an interview with him. Yeah, I agree. The snake's pretty cool, and it's got a great image. So many images the snake has. Sacred wisdom. It's used in healing symbols and, you know, of course, the great medical symbol, as well as sort of just the way they were going to use it in the Don't Tread on Me, which is sort of, you know, the snake in the grass and be natural and won't bother, but if you step on this kind of thing, then we'll do something about it, coil up. And we were trying to get an interview, but my father-in-law is, or uncle-in-law, I guess, because it's my brother's wife, he's terminally shy. For a guy that works in theater, I can't believe it. I mean, he literally left the room when I said, hey, let's do an interview. But whatever. We're going to get an interview here soon. We're going to get one of those folks up here, because we got people here, and it's a really great property. What I'm going to do is put on a brief clip of me walking through the property and explaining a few things. And I'll come back. I probably won't play the whole thing. But it's just me with the digital recorder that I've been experimenting with to do on-site interviews. I'm going to play that, take care of some business, use the bathroom, try to get somebody to come in here and talk to us. And I'll be right back. So this is me taking actually a nightly walk right before the show.
Can hear that. It's evening here, evening before Thanksgiving. Taking a little walk through the property where I'm staying here. Earlier we were out doing a tradition of my sister-in-law's family, and that's picking of some bittersweet from the woods here. It's really quite lovely out here. Nice autumn November evening. As you can hear the leaves, twigs under me. And we were out picking some herbs and things earlier as well. There's a garden nearby. Really just a nice property, nice experience. Almost perfect weather if you like sort of crisp autumn New England weather. And soon we'll be heading in as we continue. Basically, this is the experiment, as we've not used on-location style recording or interviewing for Main Street Universe. So this will be the first experience for that. And I figured, nice casual one. So again, really nice evening. And I'm kind of heading back toward the house now. I don't know if you hear behind me, there's some animal noises, but it's a little hard to hear them right now. Oh, don't want to step there. Earlier there were some turkeys out here. This morning, it's kind of a funny story. I was doing a morning meditation, staring out of the back window. And as I stared out the window, right in the window frame, as I sort of opened my eyes, as I sort of do a meditation, both open and closed eyes, they were closed for a while. I'd been in it for about a good 4 or 5 minutes, so for me that's a fairly deep state. And somebody, your noise there. And I see in the frame of the window some turkeys popped right into the picture. That was kind of interesting. They're fairly large, kind of walking through the yard. Turned out to be a pack of about 5 or 6 of them, I think. All through the distance, as I keep walking back away towards the house again, I kind of shifted direction a little bit. There's a large area where blueberries are growing. Pretty nice. Big fan of blueberries. It's a large garden, as I mentioned earlier. Some parsley, some sage. Some thyme we picked. I believe there were some parsnips out there. A lot of the stuff, since it's colder, is, of course, died off. I believe we picked some kale as well. And the bittersweet we picked earlier is basically going to be used as a decoration. Not sure if I had mentioned that earlier. Plus, there's a couple of nice sticks here. Some interesting windy sticks that you sometimes come across these paths. Make for nice walking sticks or stabs. And I think I'll start trekking back towards the house again. Such a nice night. Might pick a spot sometime to do sort of an outdoor meditation out here. Signing off.
Okay. Hello. If the chat room can help me out a little bit, we had a technical problem, and if anybody in the chat room can tell me, can they hear me? Hello, hello, hello. Is there any issue? There's a slight time delay. That's why it's doing that. Hello. Okay. Can anybody in the chat room hear me? We're really having a funny technical glitch here. I had to call back in as a guest. And Jesse is typing. Somebody's typing. Okay. Marcy says, yup. So, you can hear me. I'm actually called in. I'm not even registered as a host right now. I'm registered as a guest. I'm a guest in my own universe. Sounds like some odd Hitchhiker of the Galaxy kind of stuff going on there.
All right. Well, tell the good folks that we have somebody in.
We have some guests here, and both say hello.
Hello.
And who do we have here this evening?
Nikki Mills.
And Karen Walcott.
Karen Walcott and Nikki Meltz. And Mills. And I thought melt because I was thinking my heart was melting. Oh, isn't that And so what do you ladies do, and what is bringing you here to New Brantford, Connecticut, I guess more specifically this house?
We're students at the Yale School of Drama, and so we are here helping to set up for Thanksgiving tomorrow at Mr. Ben Samler's house, the head of our program.
And Mr. Ben, I'm his nephew-in-law, and I taught him everything. I kind of ghost wrote those books that he wrote.
Excellent.
So I just wanted to let you know. And most of the lessons, but he wouldn't come to an interview, so he can't defend himself. So anyway, and you?
I'm here doing the very same thing.
Oh, okay. Awesome. And this is my brother right here.
Hello, this is Scott. Some of you know me as Reverend Scott. And I'm just here with my brother Dan and with Nikki and Karen. And they are both students at Yale School of Drama's Technical Design and Production Department, of which my father-in-law, Bronislaw Samler, is the chair and has been chair since 1979, I believe. And so I want to first invite you one at a time to just say, you know, where you're from and what made you go to school here.
Well, I'm originally from Houston, Texas. This is Nikki. And I came to Yale to study production management. I was previously working in stage management and decided to go a different route. This program is highly technically oriented, and I had previously only worked in management, so it seemed like a good fit to expand my resume and horizons.
Nikki, well, thank you for that. Do you find it odd that the head of the technical design and production program has a phone that keeps cutting out on us?
He's grandfathered in, so it works. It works.
Oh. Very good, very good. No, I'll get to you in a second, Karen. So tell me like what year you're in and what you love about the program, what you're doing now.
Excellent. So I'm a second year of a 3-year program, so I'll graduate in 2014. And my favorite aspect of this program is being exposed to so many different technical elements that I have otherwise not had experience with, such as automation and rigging, which is what we're doing right now in Dear Elizabeth, which is the third repertory show at the Yale Repertory Theater, which is conjoined with the Yale School of Drama.
Awesome. awesome. Well, we'll come back to you in a minute, Nikki, but Karen, if you could tell us some of the same things. Just tell us, you know, where you're from and how you ended up here.
So this is Karen. I'm a third-year technical design and production student. I came from originally upstate New York and then most recently from New York City, where I was working mostly freelance electrics and sound and rigging and theater. I came to school because I felt I needed to learn more to expand my career, and the economy was taking a downturn, and I figured now was the time, if any. Now's the time for grad school. I'm going to hibernate till it all gets better. And my favorite thing about the program here is all the people that it has introduced me to. My classmates in particular have all been really great, and they're all very smart in very different ways. And yeah, it's been very busy and very stressful, but really great.
Awesome. So, again, I'm going to ask you to just tell me one thing, like one project or one detail of the program that you really love that you'll take with you when you go.
One detail of the program that I love is the classes of one Alan Hendrickson. He's a professor who has written a book called The Physics of Stage Machinery, which is all about motors and winches and lifting scenery and
winches.
Which, for those who don't know, is it's about the after party of the show. Winches are a mechanical means of moving scenery left and right and up and down. So we learn how to design and spec the parts for that out of many different mechanical catalogs and things of that nature. So Alan's classes are very technically involved, and he teaches six of them, including automation control and physics and electricity. And he's just a really, really interesting guy and so helpful and so patient. And he's a great resource. So that's probably my favorite part.
Wow, that's awesome. Well, I'll ask you too, Nikki, if there's some particular detail or task or memory or project that most sticks out in your mind. I'm sure there's a lot, but just something that seems to be ascendant in what you know you'll remember.
I think that would be the moment I'm experiencing right now.
Yes!
Which is not... So that's certainly to say being on this radio show, but also the show I'm currently working on is expanding my brain so extremely, particularly working on the automation and rigging systems, which is 100% new to me. So it's like starting fresh. And while I don't think that will necessarily be applicable to my career specifically in the future, having the knowledge and having that vocabulary to work with folks who are intimately involved with those systems will be very useful. So that's exactly what I'll take forward.
Okay. So the only other thing I want to ask is what might you want to do in the future? You know, you guys have been doing all this crazy work. I know you're working on this show now, Dear Elizabeth, which you know sounds to me like it's a collection of letters that are going to be read, which I can't wait to see how that's going to play out on the stage as dramatic action. But every show has its challenges, whether it's technical or dramatic. But I'm just interested in what your hopes for the future might be. And I'll give it to Karen first this time.
So my hopes for the future are to be a touring production manager, to work on more event and concert type events and that sort of thing.
So this is Nikki. I actually have a similar vein interest that I'm looking to go down that avenue of events and event coordinating. And I did a bit of that before I came to grad school with event coordinating and wedding planning and things of that nature, which I really enjoyed. But now I have a lot more of a base knowledge to bring to the table, and I'm actually looking for a little bit more. Events that have theatrical components to them, so events that have a production element, but are one-offs or conference-type specialties.
Okay. Well, it's really a great pleasure to have you guys stop by and add such a color and amazing, you know, interesting content to our show tonight. And one more time, just say your name and say so long to folks.
This is Karen signing off. Have a lovely evening and a happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah. This is Nikki. Thanks so much for having me.
And will we see you tomorrow?
Absolutely. Yes.
Oh,
awesome.
We'll
be here. Oh.
We will be even more relaxed than we are right now at that point. And I want to say I was very impressed by the very dramatic red in your hair.
That's right. It is radio.
I have to give a visual. She's got a bit of a nose piercing there and some very – crimson's not the word. What kind of red? What kind of red is that? Fire engine?
Sunset.
Something, yeah.
Red.
But it's good. It's dramatic. It gets attention.
Yeah.
And what does that necklace signify right there?
This is a design by architect Frank Gehry. It's an orchid leaf.
Oh, orchid leaf. Okay.
Cool. Well, if you guys want, when you come to Mark, give us your email. We'll send you a link.
Thank you.
All right, everyone, we're back, and this time we went and made a phone switch, and now there's a better phone involved. And I'd like to make an announcement that I made in the chat room earlier, and that's author Christopher Penzack has made it official, and he's going to be joining us on January 9th, so that will be really awesome. I'm a huge fan of his book, The Inner Temple, and he responded fairly quickly for somebody as busy as him, and even when there was a long break, he would keep you occasionally, you know, in the loop, and so he's been very pleasant to communicate with, and it's very nice to bring someone that's not only someone that's a well learned in his position, but he seems to be a really nice guy. And as well as someone that I personally read. I use his exercises a lot. I like those kind of... Yes, Michelle. Michelle did respond to me, actually. Michelle Bellinger has responded. She hasn't given me sort of the other backup response that I need before I announce things. So, yes, she has. She's actually twice. But I try not to officially announce until... I mean, here is okay. Kind of a quiet night on Thanksgiving Eve. But she has. We've communicated. Same thing with Wendy Rule, if you're familiar with the musician Wendy Rule. As well as some other interesting folks, some new nonprofit folks. I thought I had a pretty good interview with Reverend Donald Robinson last Sunday. Fairly highly rated. He knows a lot of people, and it was fairly highly rated. You might be able to hear. I don't know if you can. There's still some noise going on behind me. There's some people out there. Chilling, and it's fun to be here. We had some more experimenting. I also like to apologize on the air. I think I could have done a better job communicating with Janice that I was leaving. I did tell her that I was leaving, but it was a little while ago, and so she wasn't sure about the show earlier today, so I do apologize for that. I had talked about it. But I should have sent more follow-up emails. I'm usually better at communicating than that with everybody. But better a day early than a day late. And what I'm going to do now is I'm going to get to where this interview was with this lady. My brother, who, as you can tell, when he's near the phone, he's gone now, is a bit of a ham, so he took over the recorder for a while. And I'm going to start it off quiet and kind of get to the interview if I can. Don't really know. This place is called Bishop's, and this is a store that's been around, and it's also a gardening shop that sells plants and herbs and everything else. And they've been around since 1871. And the woman I interviewed is a long-time, multi-generational owner of this shop. And it's so interesting to see in the modern world, to see people who still own a business. I mean, most people, how many jobs do they have? I think I've had like 50 in my life. I don't even know how many I've had in my lifetime. But for someone to maintain this great, solid family business, and it's a tradition in my married-into family here, the Samlers. They've been going through the store for as long as they remember, and they've lived here most of their lives. My brother's wife, that's what I'm talking about, their side of the family, that's where I am, in New Brantford, Connecticut. They've made a tradition there to get their turkey at that farm I mentioned earlier. And they've been shopping at this store where it's a great grocery store that's all local farmers. And most of the groceries there's a few packaged items, if you know what I mean, but most of them you can tell they're locally packaged, like they're just things people are selling locally with a few commercial items in there, I guess, thrown in and out. And I'm going to check up now, and this is when we're in the store. It's been going on a minute or two.
And I am talking to
Sarah Bishop De La Ventura.
There she is.
So family name.
Yes, I'm a sixth generation family member.
And that's pretty amazing. Somebody told me that before. This is a sixth generation store. So that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, it's been here since 1871, family owned and operated.
Okay. Yep. And mind describing just briefly a few things that you guys do here? I think you make your own apple cider and things like that as
we
well?
We do. Yep, okay. We make our own apple cider. We make our own wine as well.
Okay.
And obviously the wine bar here. That's, we have over 300 acres of farmland. That's actually how the farm started. So, and apples are our largest crop. So that's how we have a lot of our products are apple-based, and they're our own apple cider, apple donuts, apple pies, apple wine, you name it.
That's fascinating. And six generations, that's pretty impressive. And I also know your guys' pain and pleasure, what you're going through today, because I work at Trader Joe's. So I know what it's like to work in a very busy environment. You guys are very busy today. I stopped by. I have family here, but I don't live here. Stopped by the turkey farm down the street that has the Gazi's farm that has the electric blue and pink turkeys. But it's their part of their tradition. They've been coming here a long time. They're the Samore family who married into my family. And this wine bar is impressive. I like all the wooden structure. And a brief description of some of the wines that you make here.
Like I mentioned, all of our wines are fruit wines, so we don't have any grape. We don't grow any grapes, so none of our wine is grape wine, which kind of throws people off a little bit. But the bulk of them are apple-based wines, and then, you know, with a little variation on each one. Some are apple pear. Wines is a combination. Some have apples and raspberries. We have peach wines. We have an apple cranberry wine, which is great for Thanksgiving.
Absolutely.
And you know, the holiday in the wintertime. So strawberry wine, blackberry wine.
Okay.
So just anything we grow, we've basically turned into wine.
And I noticed how brightly colored they were. I saw the wine bar, and you're right, they're not grape.
Yes.
This bright green, bright red. They look like fruit juices at first. It almost looks like, are they alcohol beverages?
Yes, exactly.
But they definitely are.
Same alcohol content, your typical 11-12% as your, you know, any other wines would have. So people wonder if it's a little bit less, but no, it's the same as your typical grape wines. Most of the colored bottles are the actual color of the bottles. But that, you know, the blushes, the ones with raspberries and the cranberries and things like that are that lighter, the blushy red colors, pinky, you know.
Gotcha.
But you know, they're good. Anything from sweet to sweet and dry to you know, you've got your mix. Something for everyone.
So some of these apple wines actually do have a dry quality to them.
Yes. You know, the ones that are basic apple, you know, the straight apple wines, and then some of, like, the apple pear wines are drier. Like, one of our apple wines is very, very similar to a Chardonnay, and then we've got one that's similar to a Pinot Grigio. You get that apple aftertaste, that flavor, but, you know, if you didn't know better, most people do, but...
it's okay.
But we do, you know, we tell people, and once they try it, they're pleasantly surprised.
Okay. And two.
So, again, Bishop's is located in Guilford, Connecticut, for those who aren't familiar. And we have a website, bishopsorchards.com.
Okay.
And we have a thriving Facebook page that we're constantly making updates on, too, with over 12,000 fans. So, you know, follow us on Facebook, see what's going on. If you get a chance and you're in the area, you should come on down.
All right. And that's Bishop's Orchard. And your name again?
Sarah Bishop De La Ventura.
Love that name, De La Ventura. Love that. That's right. But she's, as she was saying, Scott, six generations. She's not.
I am.
You are. You are number six. Oh, okay, okay. Oh, awesome.
My husband married into it.
Gotcha, gotcha. All right, and we're back. That was my interview with Miss Bishop De La Ventura, which I thought was a great last name. And again, we're experimenting with the recorder on this, and that's the last one I'm going to do of that. There's more, but I think the rest of them drift a bit like the first one. And she was a great interview. When I talked to her, she seemed like she had done it before. She was definitely a girl with kind of that power walk, if you know what I mean. And she had a very strong presence about her. I remember feeling very sort of impressed by her, even though she was a short, maybe about my mom's height, but she definitely gave off a strength in that she had been in an interview before. She just kind of was bam, PowerPoint, 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 PowerPoint. There was no awkwardness at all, very smooth.
And it was a nice little store. It almost looks like, you know, one of those ones that looks like a giant house, and but it's bigger than that. But they kind of kept that look about it, and there's a garden and herb area. Pretty cool place. And as I said, there was a lot of conversations going on behind me and people there, and a wine bar in the back. And, gosh, we've been on the air getting close to an hour now, but I'm not quite done yet. I'll be around just a little longer. I'd like to thank everybody for showing up, Jesse Ann Nichols George and Crystal Muse, Marcy, and Marcy says she's not a huge fan of ale, which I am a huge fan of. Some of the local stuff here is good. Yeah, I did buy some local ale while I was there as well. Actually, not there, but in another store when we went to a few places today in our adventures. And you know, I go somewhere and I want to get the flavor of the place. And so I wanted to get some ale that was, you know, from Connecticut and hopefully as close as to where I am at right now. And pretty impressive garden here. We were out walking around picking remaining herbs earlier today. And some of the bittersweet, as you might have heard in the one thing, if it wasn't too quiet when I was doing the little night walk. They use it as a decoration. It's a little berry-like things that grow on branches that are red and yellow. A bar run when you come up. Absolutely. And Jessie says she likes a good ale. Yes, I do too. My favorite thing sometimes to drink, depending on the scenario, I just poured an ale right now, actually, that's in not local here, but Connecticut, and it's a Sea Hag, it's called. It's New England. It's in Connecticut somewhere. And I like a good bourbon as well. And I'm not necessarily a wine person, but I do like and appreciate some wines. I don't have a wine palate. I have more of a beer snob palate. Even though I admit sometimes beer makes me a little tired. But anyway, we're talking a little bit about Thanksgiving and thankfulness and all this sort of thing. And also we were, of course, joined by Karen and Vicky, who were two students of my uncle-in-law here that I'm staying with him and his wife. Of course, his daughter, who my brother married, Reverend Anya Samuel Michael, who recently spoke at an event that the President Obama was at. It was a rally at George Mason University. And very interesting. I was sitting in the VIP section. And, of course, Anya's father made a joke of, they let me into the VIP section. And, yes, it was very interesting experience. I definitely remember being very close. There were these really pretty sign language girls there, and I remember watching them do their thing. And the most interesting thing I remember is when there was this one really beautiful brunette, and she was doing this sign language to the national anthem in the beginning. And it was kind of a cloudy day, and it looked almost surreal behind her. It was interesting watching her. It looked like Tai Chi, you know, that she was doing, and it was really pretty interesting. But we don't have too much time left. You've been listening to Main Street Universe, Thanksgiving Eve, sort of casual Wednesday evening edition, and I may consider going back on the air tomorrow. I'm not sure yet. I'm trying not to be too touristy about it. You know, I'm trying to let the shows happen naturally and not seem like forcing it into the vacation, if you know what I mean. So when it's available, then I'll say, okay, well, okay, I have some time to do it here. That way it doesn't sort of intrude on, you know, we're staying here. There's a lot of people here, a lot of people going to be here. Interesting environment, really, and with some great artistic folks, as you met two of them this evening that I didn't realize were even going to be here. They'll be back tomorrow for Thanksgiving dinner. And so if we decide to go on the air tomorrow, which the girls said maybe they do, we might do it. And be a little bit, I guess, rebellious. Remember this, that as a brief announcement on my way out, that after the show, my friends Janet and David Ewing are on the air. They're actually on the air as we speak. I usually don't compete with them, but I didn't realize they were coming on at 9, so you know, whatever. Pagan Warrior Radio, and that's on Blog Talk Radio. When the show's done, you can surf and probably find it on the air quickly. And Oberon Zell Ravenheart, great old wizard who does an excellent job. He's on as well after them on the Pagans Tonight Radio Network. And you've been listening to Main Street Universe, the show reminding you that the mysteries and possibilities of the universe are closer to Main Street than you may have ever imagined. I don't know about you, but I can imagine a lot. And I'd like to end also before the closing song by again saying thank you to everyone. And there's a slight possibility we might be on the air tomorrow if anybody happens to get away from their relatives in the evening. With this quote, I started with a quote by Plutarch that said, "The worship most acceptable to God comes from a thankful and cheerful heart." And that was Plutarch, the philosopher. And I'll end it by saying, "The shortest prayer is thank you," by Meister Eckhart. Thank you all for joining us this evening on Main Street Universe. In this one is Tom Teasley. Night's over. Thanks. Have a great evening.